I'm calling upon every believer in the United States of America to adopt the right position before God. You and I have to practically, and we have to in every way, be willing to position ourselves before God. You've got to be willing to move your body and get yourself in position. That's a very practical thing. The
Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Today, Dr. Wilton is talking about finding God's vision, gaining clarity, and understanding what God's called each of us to do, not only in His specific will to our lives, but our general will to all of us, a part of the body of Christ. As we study the Word together, know that we're available for you. We love to pray with you and for you, both keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org, and on this phone line, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. 24 hours a day, we'd love to speak with you, pray with you, connect you with great resources. Just know that we're here for you. Now, today's message, Finding God's Vision with Dr. Don Wilton.
Our Father, we bow in your majestic presence. We humble ourselves before you. Not one of us are listening. Not one of us are worshiping today by accident. You have purposed for us to have our ears open, our eyes open, our hearts open. And Lord, we're going to ask you that by your Spirit, that you would get a hold of our hearts today. Lord, we're praying for one another. We're praying for our world. We're praying for people. We're praying for loved ones. We're praying for our nation. We're asking you to speak to us and to grip our hearts with your presence. And we want to focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. So glad to be in the house of God and to be able to worship the Lord together. Now, folks, I'm going to say to you, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Habakkuk. That's a tough one to find in the Old Testament, so I'm going to give you just a little moment here. Habakkuk. I'm not even sure if I can spell Habakkuk. I grew up in the British world saying Habakkuk. So I'm really trying to discipline myself to say Habakkuk. And I want you to turn there in your Bibles. This is an incredible book in the Old Testament. Just to help some of you, it's just before Zephaniah. That should clear the way for you right there. And for some who are battling today, it's just immediately following Nahum. You're going to be able to get Habakkuk. I really want you to turn there in your Bibles, in whatever means you've got. If you've got electronic means, get it out. Get out your iPad and your Blueberry and your Raspberry and whatever it is, get it out and turn there. Look at it. I'm not sure if I'm going to say what needs to be said to you right now, but I'm going to say this, that I really believe that God has put a message into our hearts today that is absolutely critical. So I want to say this to you today. There are two issues. Watch me for a minute. On the one hand, there's the issue of the world in which we live. On the other hand, there is the issue of you and me, the church. Those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. On this hand, we've got a world that has got more problems than you and I can possibly imagine. We are living in a very precarious world. We know that. Not going to spend a lot of time unpacking that today. Out there in the wider world, we've got terrorism rampant. There are wars. There are more wars going on now than at any other time in history. There are people losing their lives for Christ. There's the economy, the European market, got tensions, homelessness, boat people, poor people, people who are struggling. We're hearing more of wrecks everywhere, plane crashes, ships going down, volcanoes, earthquakes, tornadoes. I don't want to depress you, but that's the world you and I live in, and that's out there. In the United States, our country's in trouble, my friends. We live in the greatest nation in the world. We still do. I don't think there's a nation in the world that can touch America. I love that phrase, from sea to shining sea. Our White House is in trouble, our Congress is in trouble, our state capitals are in trouble. We're living in a pagan America. The gladiators have entered the arena. You and I are becoming more and more afraid of speaking about Jesus, lest we offend someone. Political correctness. We don't even know how to laugh at one another anymore. We're losing our sense of humor. And I'm not talking about at the expense of someone. That's never acceptable. You got people marching. You got tensions between various communities. The moral fiber of America is going down so rapidly. We are the prime exporter of pornography around the world. Hacking is becoming the order of the day. Access. Well, we could go on and on. So you got the world out here, and then you've got those who know and love the Lord Jesus. In my life, First Baptist Church, this body that I love so much, the church, there are wonderful churches everywhere. So how do we, those of us who believe in Jesus, those of us who know truth, relate to this world that we're talking about? And what does that look like going forward? Where do we need to be? The book of Habakkuk is exactly about that subject. I'm not going to do a history lesson for you, excepting to say, written way back then, about 640, contextually, we know something about this book that God has put here for us to know and to understand. We know that just before the fall of Assyria and Judah, that Babylon began to rise up, and Babylon began to infiltrate Judah. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Paganism and decline began to infiltrate. It came from without within. And something was about to happen. And Habakkuk was God's servant. He represented God's people. Habakkuk was you and me. And something happened here. And this is what I was led to conclude, that while our world faces great challenges, the church faces great opportunities. The world is in the midst of monumental challenges. We, those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, are being presented with great opportunities. Church, this coming year, we as believers have got to understand the opportunities that God is giving to us. Because God has always used God's people to make a difference. That's why He called us salt and light. Our world is losing its flavor. Jesus spoke about this long time after the prophecy of Habakkuk. And God alone has the answer. Now, I want you to please listen to what I believe God has put in my heart to say to all of us, beginning with me. It's not about what we must do. It's about who we need to look at in order to do what we must do.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. And in that sense of calling us to be salt and light, what is the necessary step for you to become saltier and brighter in your light? Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message, Finding God's Vision, Part 1, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a few moments. But Dr. Don insists I interrupt so that you know this. We're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We can connect a couple of different ways, keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to be able to connect with you, pray with you and for you, but also connect you to great resources, whether it be the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide, the email that Dr. Don sends out every morning, or the hard copy. All those resources are listed for you on our website, theencouragingword.org, or feel free to call us at 866-899-9673. And again, don't forget, tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, we'll be sharing another great message from Dr. Wilton on television on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. That's tonight at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to connect you with Dr. Wilton in a powerful message about God's Word and the way that it revolutionizes the way we see each other, from family to business partners to friends to the world around us. That's tonight, 6:30 on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I hope you'll join us then. Now back to today's message, Finding God's Vision with Dr. Don Wilton.
You can take any issue in America today, name it, any of the issues that are on the table. If all we do is try to figure out what we must do related to those issues, the what we must do will very quickly become swallowed up in the divisiveness that is presented by those issues. You will never get to where you need to go. But when you focus on Jesus Christ and you listen to Him, He brings to the table the very thing or things that we need to know and to do. Right here in this church, in one church, as in every Bible-believing church that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus, God is speaking to the church. So I haven't included this part into my reading, but I just want to read this and then I'm going to go to chapter 2. This is what I just want to read a few verses in chapter 1 of the book of Habakkuk. I hadn't planned to do that. I just sensed the Lord telling me to read this. Verse 1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear or cry to you. Violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law has become paralyzed. We're a paralyzed nation. Our democracy is paralyzed. We don't know what is right and what is wrong because we've invested right and wrong into the hearts of we the people. We've decided to become the governors of our todays and tomorrows. We've decided to set the standard and we cannot do it. I've got news for you. This time next year, Congress will still be divided. And I've got even worse news for you. It doesn't matter who we elect as the next president. On our current track, the law will still be paralyzed. And ironically, we the people are being destroyed. We become the focus of our own destruction. We are destroying ourselves. I want you to turn to chapter 2 of the book of Habakkuk. Listen to what he says. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and I will look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me. This is what God said. This is not Congress. This is not me as an American citizen. This is God speaking. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. And here is the key verse. But the righteous shall live by his faith. We want to know two things. I want to know two things. These are the two things that we must know. Number one, what is it that God wants for us? First Baptist Church, what is it that God wants for us? Individual believer, what is it that God wants for you? What's the answer? What are you facing? What are we looking at? What do we do next? How do we plan? What preparation should we make? Question number one, what is it that God wants for us? Question number two, what is it that God requires through us? I'm going to ask two questions today of myself, and I simply pass these on to each one of us today. Number one, I want to know what God wants of me. I really want to know what God, what do you want of me? What do you require of me as the pastor of this group of believers? And number two, what is it that you require through me? How can you use me? Now let's ask that of the church. God, what do you want for us as a church? Number two, what is it that you want to do through us as a church? The prophet Habakkuk asked these questions in his day. Here was this terrible threat facing his land. He was facing unmitigated challenges. I think when one really understands the historical context, and it makes for a beautiful study, it's an incredible book. The challenges that they faced are so similar to our challenges today, it's really quite incredible. So here's God speaking back at the prophet. And I want to just show you what God said. God told the prophet Habakkuk that he had to do three things. These are the three things that Habakkuk had to do that I think we need to do. Number one, we have to be willing to receive God's vision. If we're going to ask those two questions, what is it that God wants for us and what is it that God requires through us, first thing we've got to do is we have to be willing to receive God's vision. That's what verse 1 is all about. I will take my stand at my watchpost. I will station myself on the tower. I will look out and see and what I will answer concerning my complaint. I have to be willing to receive whatever it is that God, who loves me and who has a perfect plan and purpose for me, requires of me and will use through me. I've got to be willing to receive that vision, which means, number one, that we have to have the right position before God. That's what he's saying there. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself at the watchtower. This speaks to the movement of the body. It means a practical movement of the body. Habakkuk understood that. God is not going to speak to us if we do not position ourselves physically. I congratulate you today, and I commend you today for being in the right position. There are hundreds of thousands of believers today who never gave a single thought to putting themselves in a position to hear God's vision. That takes discipline. Just even going to church takes discipline. Habakkuk made it very clear. Number two, not only must we have the right position before God, but we must have the right posture before God. Here's what he said, and look out to see what he will say. If the right position has to do with the movement of the body, the right posture has to do with the engagement of the mind. You know what he said? He said, I'm actually going to stand in the watchtower and I'm going to actually open my eyes. There are many, many men and women who have served in the military all around the world, and most of you will bear testimony to the fact when a perimeter is established and you're in a dangerous position and the enemy is lurking out there and everybody has to sleep and any kind of military platoon or company will select those through the means of authority who are going to stand in the watchtower. And you establish a perimeter. And you take those four or five men, and they are fully armed and they are equipped, and their job is to stay awake and to stand in the watchtower while the rest of the company gets some well-earned rest. And what good is it if the perimeter doesn't open their eyes? How many a man on guard duty has dozed off, resulting in the death of those he was intended to protect? That's what he's talking about. We must be willing to receive God's vision. How do you do that? You got to have the right position. It means you got to move your body. You got to get in the watchtower. But it also means you've got to have the right posture, which means you've got to engage your mind. You've got to look out and see, but it also means you've got to have the right preparation. That's what he was saying here. I will answer concerning my complaint. What this speaks to is not just simply the movement of the body or the engagement of the mind, but of the willingness of the heart.
How do we have that willing heart? A part of that is the discipline of spending time in God's Word every day. You know, early this morning, we began our day with a daily encouraging word verse, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The whole idea of trusting in God more than ourselves doesn't mean we go through life doubting and second-guessing ourselves, no, or being afraid to move in case we make a mistake. But when we recognize and embrace God's plan for our life, we tap into the power we need to fulfill it. You know, false humility is one of those things that kind of handicaps us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, keeps us from moving forward. But when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, he didn't want to do it. He said, I'm a child, Jeremiah 1:6. But listen to what God told him. Say not, I am a child. As surely as the tongue can bring death or life, you must learn to speak God's word over the vision he has given you. Think about it. You know, we can't play God's role. We need to understand who God is and how his personal call, his personal purpose on our life can empower us to do things we never dreamed possible. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's just a taste of what we've been studying all day today, marinating on, so to speak, here at The Encouraging Word. And if you don't have a copy of The Daily Encouraging Word, well, it's free. Why don't you give us a call? Ask for it. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd like me, you'd like to get it emailophonically, we'll send it to you. All you need to do is go and sign up on our website, theencouragingword.org. We send it out early in the mornings for Dr. Wilton, around 6 o'clock in the morning. Just sign up online at theencouragingword.org, or you could even text the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and you can sign up and be ready for it tomorrow. Again, just text the word daily to 30500, or sign up online at theencouragingword.org. Our time's gone for today, but we look forward to an exciting time tomorrow in finishing this message, finding God's vision. But you need to know we're never finished connecting. We can do it 24 hours a day online at theencouragingword.org or our phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Dr. Wilton and staff, it is my pleasure to share how the Daily Encouraging Word played an important role in my recovery from breast cancer. While having surgery, chemo, and radiation treatments, I would find myself with little or no energy, plus so tired I couldn't stay awake long enough to read anything of great length. That is where your precious devotional came in. I could read, pray, and know God was with me every step of that long year journey. That was 4 years ago, and I praise God for His mercy, grace, and healing power, for I am now cancer-free.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
Thank you for your partnership with The Encouraging Word. God's doing great and wonderful things. And I want you to know that I pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. Dear God, I want to pray for my precious friends right now and for someone especially in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please touch them. Touch their lives and be a blessing to them today in every way. And I pray this in the strong and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.